Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy. Get your motor
running. Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, hello and welcome once again to Joy 94.9. This is Fender Bender, Joy's very own motoring program, and we are very happy to have you company. My name's Tim Nicholson. Big thanks to Mark for the Escape Pod, and a big welcome to Dan Gardner returning to the studios.
I feel very welcome to be here.
Well, you're looking very festive.
I am indeed, yes, and I'm not going to tell anyone what I'm wearing.
No.
That would make excellent radio. Now, I have a very... It's like a Christmas fascinator, is what it is.
It is.
And it's sort of, it's a sparkly sequined Father Christmas hat, or, you know, Mother Christmas, because well, we're in the interests of equality here.
Or just Christmas, so there's no non-gender specific.
And now we're taking all the fun out of Christmas. Yeah, no, it's a bit silly. Hello, how are you?
I'm well, how are you? You've been away, you've had a small break from the studios.
Oh, yeah, that's right, I did. Yeah, that's it.
Not a big one.
It's always, I think it's fine. It's a good sign when you don't really remember what you're up to.
Well.
I was at the Meredith Music Festival all last weekend. Mm. And carry on listening long after our show finishes today, because I will be momentarily sitting in with Hannah on Little Fish from 4 till 5 to discuss what I thought from a totally uninformed and uneducated perspective.
Terrific. You're going to sit on Hannah. Sit on in on her.
Who knows what can happen in a studio with Hannah, you know?
Well, this is the thing.
You just can never pick it. How have you been, Timbo?
Well, look, I'm all right, guys. You know, it's been a busy couple of weeks. I'm really sick of Christmas. Can't wait till this it's over.
Yeah. You were very quick on the mute button there. That was very good.
Very quick fingers Nicholson,
I would say that about your old hands.
I know, that's it. No, look, it's been a good couple of weeks. It's been busy. In motoring, it's been very busy. I mean, it just never stops, Dan.
Well, I know. Just when we were thinking we were getting into that lovely rundown period up to Christmas, and we just thought
Seriously?
We could, you know, just start calming down, taking it a little bit easy.
No.
Ah, welcome to the studio, Mr. Abbott. It's lovely to have you with us. I've got a thing or two to ask you about.
I'm sure we all do. No, look, it has been a bit crazy. Obviously, last week we saw the closure of Holden, which was very sad, and we're all reeling from that a little bit in the industry, and, of course, the people who are affected are probably reeling a little bit more than we are.
It all just feels very strange at the moment, but we're going to talk about that a little bit more in greater depth later, aren't we?
We are. We might even talk about it a little bit now, just a little bit.
But okay, fine.
We'll talk about it later as well. But do you know what else is coming up today?
Do you want to guess? Yeah, do you want to look at the running sheet?
Either or. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you.
Just tell me.
It is the announcement, the biggest announcement of the year, bigger than the election, I would suggest. The raddest car of the year, our choice for the raddest car of the year awards, is going to be announced today.
Okay, good.
It's very exciting. I'm very excited. Are you excited?
I'm very excited, and I know another man who is as well.
Who?
Mike Costello.
He is, and he's in Perth, which I think is in another country. it's very far away, but Mike is going to be joining us a little bit later on as we announce it together as a family. We'll go through the categories. We've got a bunch of categories. I think we've got overall raddest car. We've got Plain Jane / WTF for the most unattractive or dullest car of the year.
Yeah.
Sexiest car, most improved car, and best bargain.
Excellent.
So it's pretty exciting. So we're going to announce the winners of all of those and more.
What do they win, Tim?
Love.
Oh, very
they
good.
They win a possible tweet from the Fenderbender Twitter account.
Basically, the most coveted social media privilege.
Kind of.
Since the origins of electricity. Yeah.
And it will be ignored by the car company. And they'll go, who the hell are you?
But you don't have to ignore us, dear listener. You can get in touch with us any way you want.
We want to be touched.
There is something called a mobile telephone, which you can use to do something called an SMS.
Do you know what that stands for?
Significant masturbation stain. I don't know.
Short message service.
0427 Joy 949 is the number if you want to use the short message service. Or you can email onair@joy.org.au if you have something called a computer.
A what?
Or you can do something called My Face or Dick Face or something like that. I don't know. What is it called?
Face Off.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you get in touch
with my book? Yeah. You can go on to mybook.com/FenderBenderJoy or tweetums.com/FenderBenderJoy.
Lovely.
And that's how we roll. But we are going to kick it off today, first of all, with a bit of a chat about what's happening in our local industry, Dan Gardner. As we said, Holden withdrawing last week. It's been all a bit dramatic. Now, late yesterday, too late yesterday, in my opinion, because I had to write the darn thing. The Productivity Commission inquiry into the state of the automotive industry in Australia was released. It's like an interim report. They're going to do a big report in, I think it's March, the end of March. So this was just the, this is where we're at kind of thing.
Now, this would have been a bigger deal had Holden already not announced what they were going to do.
Correct.
Right.
So it's almost moot a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I read it yesterday, had a look through, and there's some really shocking things, and I think you are going to be just blown away when I tell you what they've said about the Australian automotive industry.
I have deliberately not read the report just to get honest reactions.
Well, if you want a snooze, I suggest downloading that.
Okay, all right, yeah.
You're not going to believe this.
Go on.
Labour costs in Australia are too high.
You are joking.
Can you imagine?
I am so pleased they wrote a report to tell me that. Because there is no other way I could have gauged it.
Labour costs in developing countries like Mexico are lower than Australia.
Get out of town, Nicholson.
Can you believe it?
I actually can't. Yeah. I think we're going to have to follow this up with another report just to make sure what they're saying is true.
I know.
Yeah.
We've got a segmented market. So there's lots of cars on sale here.
No, don't believe that either.
And what else? There was another doozy. Australian factories are not working to full capacity. Well, there you go. So what has come out of several tens of thousands of words and sore eyesight
and
from
a
me,
lot of cash spent of taxpayer
huge
money.
Huge amount of cash spent.
Yeah.
Is stuff that we already knew.
Okay, excellent.
So I can't wait for March.
Oh, bring
it on.
Do
you know what I mean?
Can you imagine the enlightening facts we're going to be told about?
Oh, I know. It's almost like the next Harry Potter book or something.
Oh, better.
Yeah.
Oh, this
sexier.
Is this is amazing. It feels like Christmas or something. It's amazing.
I know, and you don't even need a silly hat on anymore. Anyway, so look, it's all a bit silly. It's a bit of not a waste of time, because I guess they had to do it to say, yes, make it official, but it's stuff that everyone already knew.
Yeah.
No big surprises there.
Oh, dear.
But look, something that happened yesterday is that Holden have gone on the offensive, the defensive. I don't really know what I'm saying. But they've released a new ad campaign that basically says, I think the words are, "We're here to stay."
Why did they avoid the whole... They could have done Holden on, couldn't they? Come
on.
Why didn't they do it?
Because they're silly duffers.
Staring them in the face.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate...
But then Holden on, does that sound like we're barely holding on for dear life?
Or we're holding
on to Australia.
Yeah. So what was it actually? We're here to stay.
We're here to stay, which...
Well, we all know that's complete bollocks, don't we?
They're kind of lying a little bit.
But it's like you're releasing an ad campaign only days after... with a strap line suggesting exactly the opposite of what you've just told us you're going to do only days before.
And they're also saying through the ad campaign... You can get on YouTube, and it's all over the television now. It started airing last night. And it's in their style of their current branding they talk about all of the different people that are staying here, like dealers and that kind of thing, which is ironic because some of the dealers didn't know they were closing down the day that it was revealed that they were closing down.
Yeah.
And they talk about, you know, we're not building cars in Australia, but we're building cars for Australia, which was true because they'd import cars from South Korea or Thailand or whatever, but they'd re-engineer them here to better suit Australian conditions.
Yes.
They're closing that arm of their business down.
So, once again, no, you're not.
Yeah. So it's a bit cheeky, I think. Look, they've got to do something. I totally get it.
Yeah.
But maybe different words.
Yeah, we already know that given the announcement, people were going to be turning their backs on the brand. It's going to happen. What they're doing now is damage limitation.
Yeah.
They're just trying to stop everyone completely...
Deserting.
Yeah, deserting.
It's interesting because from memory, I don't think Ford did anything like this when they buggered off.
No, they didn't. But then I suppose the name Ford will continue elsewhere in the world. And they're looking to sort of preserve that elsewhere, whereas Holden, the name will go, won't it?
No.
Oh, no, sorry, that's... Commodore is going to go.
Well, even that, they haven't said that yet. It's really interesting, actually, because, I mean, obviously the Commodore won't be what it is now, won't be a rear-wheel drive car, but they still might, you know, rebadge some kind of global GM thing let's hope it's not the Malibu, as a Commodore. So, yeah, they haven't ruled out keeping the Commodore name. They're just not saying anything about it. They keep saying, we don't talk about future product.
Is that what they say?
Yes. To everything.
Right. That's a very convenient way out, isn't it?
Yeah.
We don't talk about future product. That means they have no idea.
Unless they want to, which they do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Yeah, whatever. Shut up. You know, it's really like babyish anyway.
Well, thanks for all the information, guys.
Yeah, exactly. But look, we could even see them doing what Ford did a couple of months after they pulled the pin and they had this huge extravaganza in Sydney where they don't have a manufacturing arm with saying what they're going to do in the future and showing a couple of kind of new cars and stuff like that. So Holden might do something like that.
Well, they've got to do something.
Yeah.
They really do, because it doesn't matter how bad the situation gets. I think, you know, everyone is in agreement. You have to show at least a little optimism and, you know, try and make the best of a bad situation.
I think so too.
So, yeah. But anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. The first thing is this ad campaign. What's next?
Well, who knows?
Lollybags.
Yeah, yes. That's my nickname. Actually, that could be creepy, couldn't it?
Oh, dear.
Look.
Oh, there's an image.
I know.
Leave that one with me for a moment.
Show us your lolly bags.
Oh.
Ooh, what's the dot? Now, this is Tim and Dan on Fenderminder. We actually have quite a bit more to come, and just around the corner, in fact, something will be coming.
Yes.
We are going to announce some award winners.
Oh, I'm
very
excited.
Shortly. So am I. I'm going to take my pants off shortly.
Are they not already off? They normally are, but
well, you wouldn't know, would you? You can't see under the table, can you?
Well, I might have a little peek in a
moment. Hello. But do stick around, and we do want to hear back from you, so make sure you get in touch when we start talking about it after these short messages. You are listening to Fenderbender on Joy 94.9. I did have to have a small think about the show that we were on.
How long have you been doing the show and you still can't quite remember the name?
I don't know. I don't even know my own name, Jennifer.
Don't look for me for advice, Jeff.
Why Jeff? Just because.
I could see you as a Jeff.
I can see you as a Jeff.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
Well, let's move on from this.
It's getting a little bit aggressive, isn't it?
Ugly.
It's come around to that time of year, Dan. I'm not going to lie to you. It's the announcement of the Raddest Car of the Year Awards,
oh.
And I say that plural, and we can't do it on our own. We obviously need our dear friend and colleague, Mike Costello, who is on the line. Mike, are you there?
Who's Mike?
Ah, thanks for that worrying silence, Mike.
Well, he is very far away. Mike, tell the listeners where you are.
I'm sitting in Western Australia at the moment, boys.
Are you on a beach drinking a Little Creatures?
I should be. It's actually not 40 million degrees. I'm actually not sitting on the surface of the sun for once, which is unusual for Perth, because normally it's about, you know, it's hotter than the surface of Mars this time of year, not normally here. But no, I'm sitting at home at the moment in the burbs, in the nice sunshine. But give it time and I'll be down on the beach. Don't you worry about it.
Beautiful. Of course, you will be down at the beach after listening to all of Joy's programs today, I imagine.
I've got an earphone in and I'm listening at all times, because it's amazing how much, you know, how Joy manages to send its signals across the Nullarbor. It's really unbelievable.
It is. The magic of the interwebs, my friend. Now,
indeed.
Look, it's been a big year for motoring. It's been an exciting year for cars. And it all boils down to this, as we well know. It is the Raddest Car of the Year Awards. We've got a bunch of categories to get through, so let's kick this darn thing off, shall we, boys?
Why not?
Why the hell not? Now, so first of all, we've got the nominees for the most improved category. This is one we all like, and we had a bit of a short list. We had the Holden VF Commodore, which we all think was a bit of an improvement over the what was it, the VE?
Yeah, a dramatic improvement, I would say.
Mm. And well worth being a contender in this category. Also, one I think that you might have chosen, Mike, was the Lexus IS.
Yeah, underappreciated car, but a big step up.
Mm, absolutely. And, of course, the other one was the Kia Cerato / Coupe Twins, because they're kind of the same car underneath, really. And I can't believe I haven't done this. I didn't get my drum roll ready. Wait for it.
Oh, Tim.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the most improved car for 2013 is... Do you like that?
How long does it go for? It's quite a long time.
The Kia Cerato Coupe.
Yeah.
I think so too. And look, I mean, that the previous Cerato, I don't think it was an awful car, Mike, but it wasn't near the quality of this one.
I think the clincher was that the old Cerato Coupe had all show and no go. It looked okay, but it was slow as a wet week. And the new one has the punch to match the look, which is what it needed all along. And so it's a far better car for it. The VF Commodore is much improved, yes, but it wasn't a wholesale improvement. The engines are the same. A lot of the bodies are the same. It wasn't a change to the same extent as the Kia was. And it was a close sport race, but I think Kia, it just shows. It's 2 years in a row they've won that award now, and it just goes to show how that company is just going on the up and up and up. Don't you reckon?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. What are they going to do next year to maintain their crown?
Well,
a hover car. Oh, I think they've got a hovering version of the Rio. Don't
Amazing.
Can you just do that noise, Mike?
It sounds even better on the phone.
It does sound better on the phone, doesn't it? That's amazing.
There are people staring at me on the phone right now wondering why I just made it.
Awesome.
People are very, very weirded out right now.
I think they're probably confused.
What are you looking at?
Now, the next award is probably one you don't really want to win, unfortunately, and that is the Plain Jane / WTF, and I will not spell that out because it's a bit of a naughty word.
Okay.
The fridge.
Yeah, exactly. What the Fridge Award. Now, this is for a car that's just a bit dowdy, just a bit unattractive. Not like hideously ugly, just a bit dowdy. We had a few nominees here, or a few shortlisted cars. The first one was the BMW 3 Series GT. Not as minging as the 5 Series GT, Mike.
Sort of, yeah. It's like a miniaturised version. And yes, it does look a little better, but then again, literally everything on earth looks better than a 5 Series GT. I'm not just talking about cars. I mean every single thing
looks
better than a 5 Series GT. So, you know, it's still an ignominious thing to be said.
It's pretty relative. Look, the Peugeot 2008 made that list as well. Bit of a dowdy-looking thing, a bit of a miss there. Again, not ugly, just a bit dull there.
It's just nothing.
Especially because it's French, you know, because French things are supposed to be, you know, très chic and look cool and sexy, and they kind of missed the boat with that one.
They really did. Dan, I think this was your choice, the MG6.
Yeah, the reason that I thought this was a nominee was, or a shortlist even, was because of the association with the MG badge. You know, to bring back a company from teetering on the edge of existence, and their first car back to be that, you know, that's sunk even lower than if it was just a, you know, run-of-the-mill car company.
Yeah.
You know, it's not...
They would have been better off just dying, wouldn't they?
Well, I don't... Yeah, it's...
Pretty much.
I know, it sounds like a terrible thing to say, but... Or at least just staying dead for a bit longer and then coming back with a bang.
Yeah, with something spectacular. And, of course, the final shortlisted vehicle in this category is the Nissan Pathfinder, which is just a... Yeah, just a dull...
It's so dull it made you do a little burp into the microphone.
Damn!
I heard that!
I was trying to be secret. But look, it's just not a winner, the Pathfinder. It's mumsy. Is that an awful thing to say?
Yeah, I'm going to call it the Nissan Purpose Finder.
Yeah.
I think the worst thing about that car is it kind of says that the minute you have kids, they expect you to drive something dull and boring and stupid. But I think you should say, hey, you have 3 or 4 kids, you need a big car, that's cool, but why don't they deserve sexy-looking cars as well?
Yeah,
precisely.
You know, just because you have a bunch of kids and you're a particularly fertile individual, doesn't mean that you shouldn't be allowed to have something sexy.
Yeah, true. Very, very
true.
Still
people too.
Most of the time. Look, so the winner, or should I say loser...
Yes.
...of this category is... Maybe 7 seconds is too long. I think it is. Well, and the loser / winner is the BMW 3 Series GT.
Oh.
Look,
the reason for this is because, you know, BMW has always, by and large, given us cars that are desirable in some way or another. A lot of the time that's been aesthetically so. So for them to come along with a car after the 5 Series GT, which was more along the lines of the same thing, when everyone had told them it was hideously ugly and no one buys them, and they did it again. So not learning from your mistakes will get you the Plain Jane Award, I'm afraid.
I was going to say, oops, they did it again.
Yes.
Outrageous.
Now, that drum roll is amazing, by the way.
Do you like it? I've got some other things. Yeah. Wait for it.
Tim actually brought in his snare drum just to do that.
That's my favourite.
What
I love
was
it.
That? That was...
It's not the first time that Tim's dressed up as a little drummer boy lately.
Oh, dear.
I did go to Catholic school. That's creepy.
Now, made you the lady you are today.
It's true. It's very true. Now, guys, the next category is one of my favourites, of course, which is the sexiest car of the year. Now, there has been some absolute stunners this year.
They really have.
Now, one of the, I think, the most obvious ones is the Jaguar F-Type, that lovely convertible. We all think it's a little bit sexy. Why is that a nominee, Mike?
Well, I mean, it's one of those cars that just has perfect proportions, you know. It's low, it's wide, it stands out, and it's designed to sort of hark after the legendary E-Type of the 60s. And, you know, when I first saw the F-Type, I must admit I was a little underwhelmed by it, but then we were lucky enough to have one around our office for a week or so, and over that time I really grew to appreciate just the simplicity of it, the beauty of it, and the fact that it's so understated, but in a good way.
Mm.
And then there's a coupe version coming soon, which just looks like absolute dynamite. So
yeah.
I think it's a massive... I mean, Jaguar has always been a company that's made good-looking cars, but this one... Over time, it just knocked it out of the park.
They really have, and I just want to say this once, check out that ass. I mean, you know what
absolutely.
I mean? Oh,
yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
It's not a lot of money either, is it? It's a pretty good deal as well, isn't it?
Is it?
To jump into one. They're not a lot of money, are they, Mike?
No, I mean, you can get one for sort of, you know, low hundreds.
Oh, that's pretty good.
A lot of money.
Yeah,
a lot of money, but for a big Jag sports car, it's not so bad.
That's
actually
pretty good. Look, another one that's a bit more understated, but no less striking, is the Mercedes CLA, which is that beautiful little. It looks like a coupe, but it's not. Based on the A class, I believe, and just a striking little car.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's great that we've got a car in there that is, you know, not just one of these out and out supercar, you know, because they're all they do sexy easily. So to have a more practical but still sensational car in there, which is, you know, lower down the price range, is totally in keeping with what Mercedes are trying to do and appeal to a younger audience.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's great that one's in there as well.
Yep. Absolutely. Speaking of supercars, we do have a supercar on the sexiest car shortlist.
Oh my God, we sure do.
It is. It's the Ferrari 458 Speciale, which I think, Mike, you might have pointed out that I think the 458 was released a little while ago. This one is basically the same car with a stripe on it.
Yes, it's the exact same car with a friggin' stripe on its bonnet. Therefore, we just can't. If you boys give it to the Ferrari, I'd be very disappointed.
No, look, I fear you might be right. It is incredibly sexy in the flesh. I did touch it. I sat in it. I wanted to be with it a little bit. But going back
anything Italian in you is just...
Oh, yes, so true, Tim. It's
true.
Your weak spot.
It is a little bit, isn't it? Well, moving on to the French, though, another sexiest car, again, a very kind of, not logical, what's the word? What did you say before about the... Sensible. Not sensible?
Practical.
Practical. Wow, words. Practical car, which I think is one of the sexiest cars this year, is the Renault Clio.
Absolutely right. Yeah, what a great little bombshell that is.
Yeah.
It's come back with a vengeance. The Clio has always been cute and desirable, and that styling, you know, picks up where the last one left off. It's a nice little thing.
It is.
And I suppose the best thing about it is all the cars we've talked about so far are quite expensive, but the Clio is $17,000, so it's the kind of car that, you know, everybody can go and buy and get a little bit of sex appeal into their driveway. You don't have to be you know, super rich to get your paws on one.
Exactly. Cheap doesn't have to mean minging, does it?
No.
You know,
yes.
So it's, no, very, very worthy contender. But we do have to pick a winner. And we haven't actually talked about this one, so we're just going to... Let's all say it at the same time. No, I'm just kidding.
I think just by our discussion, we can probably all tell which one we are. Yes,
yep.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking it might be...
Longest 7 seconds of your life.
I just cut it down.
Nice.
Are we thinking the Jag, boys?
Absolutely. How could it not be?
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah.
It's got to be the Jaguar.
Okay, that one goes for a really long time.
And
as well.
It also sounds
Justin
a little
Bieber
bit like...
outside the studio.
Sounds a bit like a massacre, actually.
Justin Bieber's out there. I'll find one that's a little bit less creepy, actually.
Right.
So, all right, we've got the Jaguar F-Type as the winner. That's very exciting. And we've got one more before we get to the raddest car. We've got the nominees for Best Bargain of the Year. Now, we had in this list the Chrysler 300 Core...
Absolutely right.
Which is a variant of the Chrysler
now,
300.
Now, when the 300 SRT8 came out, however long ago it was now, that was a bargain in itself. So what they did is they went away, they stripped a few little luxuries out of it, like leather, and brought back an even cheaper one. Same 6.4-litre V8 performance, same styling, but at a new bargain price.
Mm.
If that doesn't sound like the one absolute nominee and one to keep on the shortlist, then I don't know what is.
That's true. Another one we have, of course, is the Ford Fiesta ST, a bargain pocket hot hatch, Mike, would you say?
Absolute pocket dynamo. If you're after a hot hatch and you've got 30 grand to spend and you don't buy the Fiesta ST, then you're buying the wrong car.
Couldn't have put it better myself, Mike.
Harsh but fair. I think I support that. The Holden Commodore, Australian-grown Holden Commodore, reduced its price by some obscene amount of money over the VE Commodore, and you get a lot of kit for that vehicle, so the Holden Commodore has to be a contender as well.
It does, and it really magnifies the point of how sad it will be to lose that car in 2017 when they stop making it. It'll be a sad day because it's a wonderfully well-priced vehicle.
It is very much so. And finally, Mike, one that you had added to the list quite recently because it was released quite recently is the Skoda Octavia.
Absolutely. I mean, Skoda in Europe is always, it's owned by Volkswagen, it's from the Czech Republic, and it's always been the budget brand of the Volkswagen empire. And in Europe, it's dirt cheap. And in Australia, Skodas were always the same price as Volkswagens, and no one could figure out why. And then they introduced the new Octavia, which is a big family sedan, and it costs exactly the same as a Volkswagen Golf, which is smaller. So they're finally doing what they had to do all along, which is be cheap and cheerful. And it's a European car that costs as much as a Korean one. Mm. Well, it's not to love. 21 grand for a car that big. Mate, I mean, and I personally think it's just about the best value car that's been launched in the last few years, full stop.
Ooh.
And I absolutely love the styling of it. I think it's a really great-looking car.
Really?
I think looks simple and you know, effective, but kind of nice in that sort of simple way.
When I look at that car, I think that Audi, years ago, had a direction to go with their sedan cars.
Oh, yeah.
And they could have gone that way, and they had to sit in a meeting and go, we're going to go this way or that way. What's it to be, boys and girls? And they said we're going to go that way. And the Octavia, they have brought back the styling, which they could have done with Audi. And I think it's a really good, as you say, Mike, simple, understated, but quite striking. So, yeah, it's a great car.
I think you've just described me. Now, boys, we do have to pick a winner for this particular category. Mike, are you leaning towards the Octavia?
I think this is a good thing there's three of us, because it's going to be one of those, you know, the majority wins award. But for what it's worth, I'm putting my hat in with the Octavia, absolutely.
Okay, I am torn between exactly that, Mike, and the Chrysler 300 Core, because just that performance for the money, I think, is absolute bargain. I'm straying away from the Chrysler 300 because it's kind of the same car that we had in the list last year. So for me, absolutely, the Skoda Octavia has won me over as well. It's a new car.
Yeah, and I was leaning towards that or the Commodore. So I think two maybes and one definite for the Skoda Octavia makes it the winner.
Absolutely.
Okay, this cheering goes for 20 seconds.
Shut it down, Tim.
We've shut it down. Now, Mike, if you will stay on the line just for a little bit longer, we're going to have some short messages and come back with the overall raddest car of the year. Are you ready, Mike? Are you ready?
I am just shaking with anticipation.
I'm just shaking because I've had a lot to drink in the last few weeks.
I was going to say, is Mike just withdrawal symptoms?
It could be. It could be. This is Tim, Mike and Dan on Fender Bender on Joy 94. Joy 94.9. Stick around. You are listening to Joy 94.9 radio station, and the show is Fender Bender, and you have...
This is radio.
Radio. I'm on the wireless. Voices? My name is Tim. Over across from me is Dan, and in another state completely...
Yeah. Do you mean like state of being?
Well, possibly. It depends what he did this morning or last night. Mm. But I do mean state. In Western Australia, we have the wonderful Mike Costello. Mike, are you still with us?
I'm feeling very zen.
Are you?
Oh. Oh, I'm on a higher plane of being.
Oh, that's the state you're in. Oh, fabulous.
Amazing.
Well, hopefully we'll all get there a little bit later today, but right now...
The time has come, Tim, hasn't it?
Something's come, and I think it's time. I'm not sure what's happening. Ooh, yeah. It is the Raddest Car of the Year award time. It's time to give it away. Let's just kick it right off, boys. Now, there are a few cars we have here as nominees for the overall Raddest Car. It's been a massive year of really, really quality vehicles. So let's just kick it off, guys. Nominees start with the Jaguar F-Type. Are we happy with that?
Absolutely. How could we not be? We already talked about that car early on in the for the sexiest car, and it's back with a vengeance because it is overall... How can you look at that car and say it's not rad?
I know. It's true. One car that is fairly sensible and practical, but also just... It was funny when I drove this car because I was almost disappointed with how good it was, because I'm like, oh, do I really want to be another person that says how good this car is? And that is, of course, Mike, the Volkswagen Golf.
It is, and yes, I mean, you look at it and you say, it's just a Golf, and it doesn't look that exciting, but what the Golf does is it's in another class altogether against its rivals. It's almost like a mini luxury car that's priced as much as a Mazda 3, and it is the world's best small car, bar none, for the money, and you cannot get anything better for that sort of money. That's that sort of car in terms of the size of it, in terms of the luxury of it, and its advanced drivetrains, love or hate Volkswagen, and they've had their issues this year with reliability, no doubt, but we can only judge cars on what they're like new. We don't get to own them for 10 years, and as a new car proposition, that Golf is just an absolute hell of a machine. And the new GTI, as our illustrious colleague Byron Matthew Dark has said when he was last on the show after driving it, is one of the best hot hatches money can buy, full stop, as well. So it covers the gamut, and as a whole range, it's just brilliant. It really is.
It really does. It's an excellent car, boringly excellent, and I say that because it was just, you know, it's just so expected that they do so well at that, and they just have. Another one, of course, is the locally built Holden Commodore, a massive improvement over the last model, and something we should definitely be proud of what we can achieve in this country. Renault Clio has been a terrific little car for that French brand, who have just struggled for so long, that car company, and they are just, you know, onto a few winners now, and it's good to see them kind of... Everyone likes a good news story in the automotive world, and I think Renault are on the up and up. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, we could do with a few more good news stories, actually, at the moment, couldn't
we? Yeah. I could agree with, you know, going up and up, if you know what I mean.
Oh, dear. Ooh.
Hello.
Or maybe a little bit of going down as well. Oh, dear.
Of course, we've spoken about this before. The Ford Fiesta ST, killer little car, has to be on the list. Do we agree?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely right.
It's the most fun you can have with your clothes on, unless you're driving it without clothes on.
I don't know, Mike. I can have a lot of fun with my clothes on in a very sexy way, if you know
what
I mean.
I've heard rumours.
Oh, God. Oh, dear. I've seen videos.
Full body latex boots don't really count.
Oh, dear. Look, another hatchback that's really kind of blown the competition away this year is the Mercedes-Benz A-Class.
Yeah, what a top little car. Mike, you did the launch of this, didn't you? And I actually remember getting a text message from you about the... Oh, well, you did the AMG.
Ah.
Which is what the one I assume we're talking about.
No, I was saying the A-Class in general, the whole range.
Right, well, you're wrong, Tim. Okay. All right. So it's the AMG, okay?
Okay, all right.
And Mike actually texts... Very rare Mike will text me from a launch when he's up to his eyeballs and writing things and being busy, but he actually had to send me a message saying, this thing is unbelievable. You won't believe the exhaust note. It's crazy.
Mm.
It is, and look, that A-Class is in Mercedes. I mean, they're now competing with Volkswagen and the Golf. They're making a $30,000 small car, and yes, they've got the hardcore $80,000 AMG as well, and they cover the gamut. And this is the future of Mercedes. This is how they're going to start selling more cars. And you know, they could have cut corners, and they could have made something crappy and just slapped a badge on the front, and they would have sold it. But nope, they did the whole hog. They made a new platform, new engines. They really did it properly, and it looks great, and it goes well, and it's a brilliant car, and they've left their rivals BMW and Audi, I should say, they've left them behind with what they're doing at the moment.
Mm. Now, a couple of other additions to the shortlist. I believe these, Dan, you can talk to these. The Ferrari F12 Berlinetta.
Yes. Now, some question as to whether that is it. We announced pricing for this this year, so technically it's in the running for this year. How can a Ferrari that is one of the most powerful machines ever made and looks like that not go into the Raddest Award? I think it is absolutely spectacular, but then I'm a Ferrari file, and so they, you know, basically everything they do is angelic in my eyes.
That's true.
So I want to chuck that one in, and I'd like to throw in another Mercedes, a car I drove earlier this year, which is the Mercedes-Benz C63 AMG, wait for it, Edition 507. It's the very last of the C63 AMG cars, and it is most likely going to be the swan song of the AMG V8, normally aspirated.
Right.
So for that reason, I think its radness will never be seen on our roads again,
yeah.
And it's worth just giving it one final mention before it goes out with a very big, thunderous bang.
I would like to give two very quick shout-outs, not nominations, but I would like to say the Audi RS6,
ooh,
which I drove this year,
yep.
400 kilowatt supercar pace in a big friendly family wagon. It is the ultimate Q car. It's the ultimate street sleeper. It's an absolute badass machine.
Yeah.
I don't think it's worthy of the award because the rest of the A6 range is a little older and it's only a niche variant, so probably can't quite fit in there, but nonetheless, it's an amazing car. And the other one is the new, again, to sound like, you know, the three-pointed star is getting a lot of love, the new Mercedes S-Class.
Of course.
Recently.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I don't think it can win the award because in the past, S-Class has had a million new bits of technology that nothing else had, and it basically reset the benchmark.
Hmm.
Mercedes aren't doing that anymore. Like, sometimes the A-Class will premiere things, sometimes the E-Class will. And so the S-Class has lost that luster. But still, as a luxury limo, it's hard to think of anything you could buy that would be better.
Yep.
And it's a massive step up in terms of just about every field that, you know, you judge a car on. Wonderful, wonderful car. Yep. Neither of those should win the award, but I think they both deserve a shout-out.
Honourable mentions.
Should
I agree.
Throw an honourable mention in here? Is this year the Range Rover, the new Range Rover? Is that worth it?
Indeed, definitely worth an honourable mention. And it goes to show how brilliant this year has been for new cars when cars like a Benz S-Class and a Range Rover can't even get nominated. It just goes to show what a wonderful year it's been for new models. And all, despite all the sadness with two factories, you know, being closed and all these things happening that have been down, we've had such a wonderful array of new cars launched. And choosing just one is a damn hard task.
Hear, hear.
Which is why I'm happy to say that the winner is the Proton Preve. What? What? Hang on. Sorry. I had something written down here. I've made a mistake. It's a lie. But look, it is time, guys. It is time. The year is coming to an end, and it's time to announce the Reddest Car of the Year Award. Do you think people are sick of hearing that yet?
No, I don't know. I think we're going to have to bring it into every show, actually.
I'm just going to have it in my life, walking down the street. Now, the winner... There's a very honourable mention, but we do have a winner. Should we go the honourable mention first?
Please do.
Okay. The very honourable mention / runner-up, just runner-up, is the Volkswagen Golf.
Very good indeed. Well deserved.
Again, that goes for 20 seconds, so I'm going to stop that. Why isn't it stopping?
It's all in the terms, isn't it? I mean, the Golf is a brilliant car, but when you think Golf, you probably don't think of the word rad.
No.
It's not really a Golf word, is it? And I suppose when you look at it in terms of the name of our award, the raddest car, yeah, you can't really give it to just a humble Golf.
No.
So I think the Golf, as good as it is, just fell short.
It did so, terribly.
But the question is...
Yes, what is the raddest car? Ladies and gentlemen... For the second out of 3 years, it goes to a Ford. I'm talking about... the Ford Fiesta ST. God, I'm sick of these things. God, shut up.
It sounds a bit like a massacre, that one.
It does, doesn't it?
I don't like it.
Oh,
bit
my
of death.
God, it's killing everybody!
Yes, look, the Fiesta ST.
It's a clear win. I mean, Mike, I think you said this as well, but I got out of that car. We did have it at our work for a week or so, and I drove it, I don't know how long I drove it for, but I got out of it. And for the first time, I think, since I've started working there, I went, I would buy that car in a heartbeat.
And the most important thing is you actually probably could buy that car, because it's only 26 grand before on roads.
And the best thing about a car like that is you drive a Porsche 911 or a Ferrari 458, where the speed limits are 60 and there are curbs and speed bumps and things, and it's almost more pain than it's worth unless you're on a racetrack. But you drive a Ford Fiesta ST and a roundabout is amazing. A chicane is amazing. A car park can be good fun. It doesn't matter where you're driving this car, no matter how humble your surrounds, no matter how humble your bank balance, it's every man supercar in so many ways. And it's not just the engine, it's not just the chassis or the gearbox or the design, it's everything. They've just knocked it out of the park, and they've reset the parameters for the hot hatch segment as a whole. And as good as its rivals are, and the Clio, the Clio Sport and the Polo GDI and all these cars, the Fiesta just slaps them all to the ground. It is an amazingly good machine. And I haven't driven a car that good for that little amount of money since I drove the winner of last year's award, the Toyota 86. So that's a big compliment indeed.
I think so, definitely. Look, and it's not without its flaws. I think it's, you know, the cabin, it's still got that centre stack, the audio kind of dials that look like an early noughties Nokia phone that was kind of dated when they launched it. And it's like, well, that obviously needs a bit of a freshen up. But, I mean, you just don't care.
Exactly. You can forgive it many things because it addresses all of the areas and the important things to people who enjoy driving. Yeah. And it does it all incredibly well. And don't forget, there's two seats in the back as well. It's only a three door, but you get shopping in the boot, you get people in the back, it does decent miles to the gallon, so you know, on a performance proposition, it's fantastic, but it's a car you can drive every day. And once again, did we mention it's 26 grand before on road?
Raddest car, guys. Well, look,
I think it's good. I like giving awards to cars that our listeners, you know, by and large, most people could conceivably buy that. But the average bloke can't really buy a Ferrari, so I think a very deserving winner.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, boys, thank you. Thank you for your input. Thank you for listening, everyone. When the show's not over, we've still got a little bit to go, but we are very happy to announce the winner of the Raddest Car as the Ford Fiesta ST. Mike Costello, we will leave it there. Young man, have a amazing time in Perth, please.
I will, my friend. It's always wonderful. It's been so fun doing the show again for another year with you boys, and I've loved every minute of it.
You too, my friend. It's
been 70% of the minutes.
Exactly. Sometimes it's a trial, but no. absolutely wonderful to have you on, and thank you again, and enjoy the rest of your time in Perthage.
I'll see you both on the East Coast soon.
Sounds good, sounds good. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Stick around. You are on Joy 94.9, and this is Fender Bender. My name is Tim, that is Dan. We just announced the Raddest Car of the Year Award, and it goes to the Ford Fiesta ST. What a deserving winner. We're very excited.
Absolutely right. We are all going out to buy one immediately.
Exactly, and I'm going to tweet.
I'll tell you someone company. Who's listening and hasn't commented on anything to do with the Raddest Car. Mm. It's Lynn, who's having a very steamy Christmas.
Woo!
Lynn says, great to hear you guys this afternoon. Getting ready to drive 6 hours home to the farm. Unfortunately, my air conditioning compressor sit itself last week. Hot trip home for me. At least it's not 40 today. Have a great Christmas, guys. Happy Christmas to you too, Linz, and to
Thank
all
you,
our dear listeners.
Exactly. Hope you're enjoying the day and getting ready for a big, big, big Christmas. Dan.
Yes.
I believe there's something you want to say.
Yes, I do. Right. Yeah, it's funny to say that. I've always got something to say, haven't I? Right, okay. Now,
you are a mouthy bit.
I do a lot of thinking. You know what I mean?
Do you?
Yeah, I got plenty of time on my hands. You know, I do a bit of thinking occasionally. And just once or twice, I come up with something which isn't complete rubbish.
Ooh.
This may not be any exception.
I wouldn't think so.
Let me know what you think. I have a theory.
Mm-hmm.
I have a theory. Now, we were talking about the imminent death of Ford and Holden in Australia.
Death.
That wasn't a sound effect. That was actually Tim just being really creepy.
Yes. I'll stop that now.
Hang on. Oh, I thought you were loading another sound effect.
No.
How about this? Right. A few months ago, I had a bit of a rant on the show about what the ways in which we are trying to cut road trauma in Australia, on Australian roads. And one of the ways that this is being done, supposedly, is by slowing everyone down. And I said that I don't think that is the best way to go.
Okay.
I think, and I compared this to my motherland, the U of K.
Uh-huh, I'm familiar.
Where, now let me run this one by you. If you took what is a very common car and a very high up the choice list of cars for first new drivers, say, I don't know, Holden Commodore, Ford Falcon, which could be most likely a six-cylinder, large-capacity engine bolted to a rear-wheel drive chassis. You took one of those to an insurance broker in the UK and you said, could I please insure this car? I guarantee they would vomit up their spleen with laughter at you, because trying to insure a car in the UK for a first time driver with a more than four cylinders and more than 1.5 litres capacity and rear wheel drive is completely impossible, because it is regarded as quite a tricky car to deal with. Lots of power, rear wheel drive. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. And that was always my suggestion, that if you limit the sort of cars that people can drive as a first drive in this country, you would cut the amount of accidents that happen and you would cut the amount of road trauma and death on roads. Cut to the chase. Ford have announced they're not going to make the Falcon anymore. A rear-wheel drive, large engine car. Holden Commodore is going to be gone. Well, it's not going to be gone, but there's a high likelihood it will change to front-wheel drive layout.
Yes.
My prediction, I'm looking for a silver lining to this cloud. I am predicting that Australian roads, wait for it, will get safer because of the imminent doom of the Ford Falcon and the Holden Commodore.
Are you being serial? Are you a little bit facetious? Are you for Seychelles? Do you live in Seychelles? I'm not sure what's happening. Are you saying that the hoons on the road are going to be less?
I'm saying that this now begins a gradual process where, over many years, big engine rear-wheel drive cars will be less of a first car proposition for new drivers. And that will have the effect of stopping people crashing so much.
The whole, just full stop.
I reckon this starts something. Yes, it's a very long process.
You're a long process.
I am. And sorry, that actually took quite a long time to explain.
No, no.
But, you know, I wanted to make it very clear.
What about these young hoons who drive, like, fast fours?
I think a front, fast fours are more likely to be a front-wheel drive layout. And I think that is a layout that you can make less mistakes in.
Really?
And certainly the insurance brokers in the UK and their insurance ratings suggest exactly that.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm. Rear-wheel drive, anything in the UK is regarded as more dangerous than front-wheel drive in the eyes of an insurance broker. And I'm inclined to agree with it, actually. In the hands of an inexperienced driver.
What about a darn all-wheel drive? Hey, where do you sit on those?
Well,
like a darn I don't know what's happening now, but an Impreza. An Impreza. Well, what are they called? The WRX.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. That's a bit of a grey area, because obviously that's four-wheel drive, but it's also a high-performance car.
Like my hair, it is a grey area.
And it's turbocharged, so you can't. I think the laws still stand where a new driver can't drive one of those anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So that still stands. So, yes, what I'm suggesting is that with the phasing out slowly over time, because we won't have so many rear-wheel drive big cars with large engines, yeah. I'm saying less young people will get into them, and I predict that the amount of road trauma caused by reckless driving will drop with young drivers.
So the demise of the Australian automotive industry spells more lives saved, is what you're saying.
I'm just trying to find a good angle here. Yeah. Something to be a little bit optimistic about. It may well be a completely stupid idea, and if you think so, then let me know. 0427JOY949 is the text, or on air at joy.org.au is the email.
It is both of those things. Well, Dan, thank you for your rant. I do love it when you rant.
Yeah, I do too, actually. It's venting. I feel much more optimistic about things now.
It's awkward when you start spitting when it happens. Now, Dan, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the show. And it's the last show before Christmas.
Well, there you go. And there closes another year to the year that was 21-3.
No, we've got another show next week. It's before the end of the year. And we are going to do a bit of a best of 2013. Yep. And we're doing a fabulous thing where we are going to be on Technogaze.
Yes.
And Technogaze are going to be on us.
Literally?
Yeah. Mark and Michael are going to be on top of us.
Might have to fire up the old webcam for that one.
I know. No, we are going to be sharing a bit of knowledge and humour and fun times next week. So tune into both shows, as you always would. From us, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Happy Christmas.
And safe driving, I think, more importantly.
Absolutely right. Do remember that it is a time out there when you do have to keep your eyes and ears and your back a little bit more. It can be a bit more treacherous. Just take care. And remember, if you are driving, lay off the good stuff.
Absolutely. That is Tim and Dan signing off. Until next week, safe driving.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.